week two. Papa's got a brand new bag. Well, I'm waiting for the Aussie to call in. We've got a Australian, if I understand this correctly, haven't spoken to him, haven't even really directly spoken to him, even by email or Facebook or anything like that. I have no clue what he's going to say, but here is what I will say. Look at that. Look, it's like magic. I'm telling you, it's like magic. Oh, wait a second. That can't be him, or is it him? Who am I speaking to?
Oh, it's Mick Ozzie. Am I on air?
Hey, it is Mick. Good to see you, my friend. Or good to hear you.
How are you?
I just introduced you.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I didn't hear. I hope you said some good things about me.
Oh, hey, you know, my favorite doll is Barbie.
That's good.
That's right. I'll cook anything on a Barbie.
Oh, yeah, for sure, mate. It's Barbie season up here in Canada, for sure. Everyone's out and about, summer, and drinking, and patios, and sitting on a patio getting drunk. Like, Canadians have two beers in the sun, and they're off their face. So lots of Barbies and sun up here right now.
First of all, we've never met. We've never talked. We really don't know anything about each other, so I guess we should do our introductions. And since I'm a good host, I will let you introduce yourself first. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I guess by the accent, you're from New Zealand, right?
Hey. That's what Canadians. If they're not sure if you're an Aussie or Canadian, Canadians are so freaking polite. They'll say, "Oh, are you from New Zealand?" Because they know that the Kiwis and New Zealanders, they get upset if they get called an Aussie. So that's why they say that. So I laugh, mate. No, I don't mind if I get called a New Zealander. But we call them sheep lovers. So, no, I'm an Aussie, mate. South Australia, just north of a city called Adelaide, where we held the Formula One Grand Prix for many years until those buggers in Melbourne stole it from us. I got here in 98, March 98, got to Vancouver.
Oh, okay. So is that where you are now, in Vancouver?
No, I'm out here in Ottawa trying to sort out these lazy-ass politicians, mate. And no, there's a new CFL team starting here next year called the Red Blacks. I moved here in 2010 to help the Ottawa Swans, Australian Rules football team, and I'm still here. Not sure why, but I'm still here.
I'm sure we can figure out why. Now, help us understand how a man from Australia comes to Canada. And what is it about the CFL that you find so attractive? Oh, wait, I haven't told you about myself. Here's the short version of myself. I'm absolutely a CFL fan. I'm absolutely a person who really enjoys good entertainment. And most of all, I absolutely like to have a good time with my friends. And all those things are covered by being a CFL fan and also, of course, a Toronto Argonaut fan. I look forward to some debates between you and me and the Red Blacks and the Argos next year.
Okay, mate. Well, I'm a fan of the Argos. I'm not a fan of those Maple Leaf fans down there. Like, I like downtown Toronto, but I get really upset at so many people in Toronto that do not support the Argos. So Maple Leafs fans can get stuffed because they don't support the Argos. But I like the Argos. Jim Parker's a great fella. Ricky Ray, I mean, God, Eskimos are still terrible. I still can't believe they traded Ricky Ray. I mean, what a joke. It's unbelievable. But, you know, Toronto benefited from it. And the 100th Grey Cup last year was unbelievable. I was there for 2 weeks and it was fantastic. So a great celebration of the 100th Grey Cup.
Absolutely. Now, here's something that I want to ask you. Now, are there any similarities between the game of rugby as you know it or Australian rules football in you know, other than the obvious differences, like full-on equipment for football, not so much with rugby. Are there any of the tactics that you see that are similar moves? Because it does require running and being tackled, right?
Yeah, mate, interesting you say that, because Josh Bartell is an Australian rules football player, not rugby, there's a big difference. He's an Aussie rules football player, and he made the Hamilton Tiger Cats last year. He made the East All-Star team. Fantastic punter. Now, I knew that Aussies could do okay as a punters, because what happens, you've got that time to run around a little bit and, you know, duck and weave a little bit, and then you can kick the drop punt, which you call like an end-over-end kick. We call it a drop punt, where you can accurately kick it to a space and then out of bounds. So Josh Bartell did really well at the Tiger Cats. He's again playing this year. And you'll see in the NFL, Darren Bennett started the end-over-end kick as the San Diego Charger, like, 15 to 20 years ago. And now many of the NFL players will do the end-over-end kick to accurately put it within the 5-yard line, and it will spin back. So there's some similarities. And, yeah, the wide receiver position, of course, that's very similar to playing Aussie rules football, where you jump up and take the big grabs. And then running back. I mean, running backs would adopt well to Australian rules football as well.
I'll have to talk to Chad Cackard about that. He tried being a broadcaster. That worked out pretty good. they gave him a lot of tennis player names, if you know what I mean. All those, you know, Eastern European names. With no vowels and lots of consonants.
Yeah, well, there those names with the skirts on, they're quite good to look at, aren't they?
Absolutely. Well, I want to remind you folks that you're listening to Candid Frank Live, streamed on Rouge Radio and also on Blog Talk Radio, and you can also listen to this program when and if you start watching it and you feel you missed something. It gets replayed, and then you can also download it at your leisure. Our guest is Mick. He is from Australia originally, and I'm learning now that he's now in Ottawa, and it sounds to me like soon he'll be an Ottawa Redblacks fan. One thing's for sure about the Redblacks this year. Now, how much history do you know about the CFL, and in particular in Ottawa, Mick?
Oh, pretty good, mate. I know that I love the CFL, but it's pretty stupid that just before I got here, the Rough Riders folded. So two teams with the name Rough Riders is a bit silly. I mean, yeah, there was a space between the word, that was all. So, yeah, obviously they had to come up with a new name. The name I really liked was Rough Raiders, but there's no way they were going to call it the Rough Raiders. Red Blacks is all right. There was nothing much better. And the people here that are complaining about the name, they're those government lazy asses that aren't even going to go to the game. So anyone that complains about the name, I just say, listen, there was nothing better. I actually like it. I think it's good.
Well, you know what? It has a very good heritage. And for those of you, very simply, look at the RCMP and you'll understand why they're called the Red Blacks. I'll leave it just at that. yeah, the red and black are big colors in Ottawa. For those, if I remember correctly, because I researched it, it sounds strange to me, but the original Rough Riders were named after Teddy Roosevelt, and that is when the Canadians went down to help the Americans fight the Spanish for the United States. And as many may or may not know their history here in North America, Mick, you might not, coming from Australia and that kind of stuff, but the Rough Riders were Teddy Roosevelt's group. And, yeah, so, you know, the name has some history. The colors definitely have a history in Ottawa. Am I going to complain about the team? No. The name? There are some stupid names out there when it comes to sports, Mick. I mean, I've seen Australian rules football, and I can't figure out why they call them what they do. What are some of the Australian rules football names?
Well, the funniest one to me is in my home city was, my team's the Adelaide Crows, but they brought in another team called the Port Adelaide Power, right? So as soon as they got named, mate, it was the Papsmears, P-A-P, so that was a pretty funny one that got nicknamed straight away.
Well, that's like here in North America, the Philadelphia Flyers lived and breathed and played in the First United Center. So it was the FU Center.
Yeah, it's good.
That changed quickly. Yeah, no, yeah. We've got, you know, a sporting name really is, in all honesty, between you and I, buddy, the real respect that a team gets is not, it's like they say about a rose. The rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And in the sense of sports, if the team sucks, it don't matter how good the name is.
That's right, yep.
So it's all about entertainment. And now, the CFL is a very affordable league. Do you get a chance to come down to Toronto or elsewhere, Montreal, to see any games?
Yeah, I do, mate. I've actually been to, I've been to every stadium, thinking about it. I've been up there to Montreal, both the stadiums, the university, and also the Big O. Yeah, I've been to every stadium except, obviously, the new Winnipeg one, because it only opened last week. So, my favourite, I lived out west for 12 years, mate. So I got to Vancouver in 98, so I'm still a BC Lions fan. And as you know, the CFL is really big out west, even across to Regina and Winnipeg. So I love it out west. I still love it here, but they got so much room to grow. I mean, they're doing well up in Montreal, but just disappointed that the Toronto people don't get behind the Argos more than they do. But the fans of the Argos are some of the best. So, you know, you've got to build on that good base of 20,000 regulars and try and get it up to what BC did. Because BC, 5 or 6 years ago, BC, Lions were struggling. Now they've got a good, consistent crowd of 35,000 each week. So, oh, you know, 30 to 35,000. So Argos can definitely do it if these Toronto people stop thinking they're Americans and want this NFL team. I love the fact that the Buffalo Bills games down there were really boring and a bit of a flop. I love that, mate.
Well, you know, don't get me started on the Buffalo Bills. Okay, too late. You got me started. Too late. You got me started. It's you know, the NFL is a business, and a very successful one to boot. I got to put my teeth in the right way. I think I put them in backwards today. You know, the CFL is a great league, and the NFL is a great business, but it's not really a sporting endeavor. It is a betting endeavor. The good thing about the CFL right now is a lot of Americans are starting to watch and see what the CFL is all about. And all one has to do is, if you look at the four games that were played last week, there was a dud, if you will. You know, Edmonton didn't put up any kind of fight, any reasonable fight against Saskatchewan. Now, you know, there are a lot of, they've got a front line that's all like, I think they're all first years. You know, there's a lot of experience that they need to develop. I think that team will be a little better towards the end of the year. But I believe the other seven teams in the league are going to be very competitive and very close in, you know, making the playoffs. This may be the first year that an Eastern team crosses over into the West. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did. I truly believe that Winnipeg's better than the 52-0 score with Hamilton.
Yeah.
And they showed against Montreal. They did quite well. And don't make any mistakes, folks. Montreal is a good team, and they will continue to be a good team. And they will be battling for first place. So the competitive nature of football in the Canadian Football League, there's scoring, there's guys moving all the time. And the Americans just love the fact that they see everything in motion. It's just, they're just not used to it. And it does make things entertaining. You know, the waggle is a big deal to people who don't know what it is. Players that come up here, you know, that move at the line. It's totally different than what they've seen. And now with ESPN3 streaming, basically, what is it? I heard 60 games or something. I think at some point, every game that's played in the CFL will be seen in the United States, whether it be NBC, ESPN3. So we're going to find out, finally, because I truly believe this is the way the CFL is going to, they will get better. And that is, they will get a little more respect from football fans in general. General football fans. Once that happens, you know, the CFL will be doing fine. I don't know what Australian rules football is other than a place to take steroids, but I'm sure it's a very interesting sport.
Oh, man. I mean,
your wrap-up
was fantastic just then, right? And then you just put all that great CFL talk, and then you said about AFL and steroids. It's very disappointing to me, mate, because for years I've said there's Australia, we really frown upon people that take steroids and stuff. But, yeah, the Essendon Bombers, they're in a bit of trouble with some drugs. So I hope they really clean it up, because for years now, Australian sport has definitely been cleaner than the U.S. No doubt about that.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, only by reputation only. What's ended up happening is, even in Australia, and I'm not saying that Australia is worse than the United States or any other place in the world. I just think that they've unfortunately been in love with their athletes so much. And this is a disease that we all have, Mick. And the disease is this: we look at our heroes, we admire our heroes, we're proud of our heroes, we put them high on a pedestal, and the first time they do something wrong, they're as good as dead. They're getting torn down, and there are a lot of unhappy Australians in Australia right now because of the scandal with steroids and that. Now, as a fan of sports, do you find sometimes that it's tiring to hear that athletes don't understand that they're doing damage to themselves when they're taking these steroids and drugs general?
Yeah, I do, mate. As I say, growing up in Australia, anyone that got caught was ridiculed for pretty much life. And in a way, I kind of like that. And then, I mean, the Lance Armstrong story, I mean, that was just devastating. I mean, I got sucked into that, and I follow this stuff. So, yeah, that was brutal. But I really don't like the baseball, the way the baseball guys cover it up, and it's kind of accepted by the fans. And even in the NFL, it's kind of accepted a little bit. But I would say with steroids in Australian rules football, it's really not going to help you a lot as in playing, because there's so much to the game. There's fitness, there's pace, there's endurance, there's skill, there's reflexes, but it would help you in recovery from injuries. So I think that's the big thing that got some of these Aussies sucked into taking it, because you get hit a lot in Aussie rules football. So it would help in recovery and injuries. And, you know, I don't know if there's much in the CFL. I'm probably thinking there's a little bit, but, yeah, the NFL and the baseball. The baseball annoys me the way they're coming down hard now on the guys, but it's just too much, you know, A-Rod and all these guys and Roger Clemens. I mean, just total liars, mate. I can't stand it. It really drives me nuts, mate.
Well, you know, they're just human beings. And the point I was trying to make is that they make mistakes. And sometimes simple human beings need speed limits. They need rules, like wear your seatbelts. They need licenses to drive a car. They need guidance. And sometimes I think what we do is we give athletes a blank check. The reason I mentioned this is, have you had good fortune, I'll say good fortune, to have met a few CFL players in person?
Oh, mate, absolutely. When I started, real quick, back in 98 and 99, I started getting media passes at CFL and NFL, and it was just when high-speed internet came out, and Bill Gates released AVI to ASF, so basically I had internet television. I had it on Mick Ozzie in Total CFL years before YouTube. So for about the first 6 or 7 years, I interviewed nearly every top CFL player, like Ricky Ray, Marcus Crandall, Milt Stegall, all these guys I interviewed one-on-one, and I totally loved it. I just do specific events, more professional, but in the early years, I was everywhere, nearly every week, doing an interview, interviewing the fans, and just got the crazy-ass, funniest stuff. And back to what you said, why do I love the CFL? I fell in love with the fans initially, and away from home, it was the closest thing I could do to go to a day at the Aussie football, have some beers and meet the fans, and it was just, I just fell in love with it. The people at the CFL and the passion. And in Calgary, mate, oh, the tailgate party in Calgary was so good. Sometimes we didn't even go to the gate inside, because we could from outside, right, you know?
Best steaks in town.
Oh, Calgary was amazing. The tailgate party there, brilliant. I'm not a big fan of the Stampeders. I think they're bits of rock stars. A few of their guys think they're pretty good, but the tailgate party in Calgary, fantastic.
Let's be clear here. The biggest part that is the failure here in Toronto is the fact there is no sense of any kind of tailgate party. They want to do it. The organization knows, as luck would have it, their tailgate party this week, this past week, for the game against Hamilton was canceled due to rain. So, you know, they know that it is one of the ways to attract the fans. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. The thing about football that people love the most is the tailgate. That, you know,
yeah,
it's an event. You know, football in the United States and in Canada, in the grassroots areas of Canada, is all about tailgating. It's all about getting together. And, you know, it's not surprising that you have difficulty selling it here in Toronto because there's so many other ways to tailgate. You know what I mean? There's so much to do. But, you know, that's an excuse in my opinion. I think the truth of the matter is that we haven't figured out a way to let people know in Toronto how to have fun. I don't think Torontonians know really how to have fun in a simple, basic manner. I think the problem with Torontonians, and I'm one of them, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't even know that you know, when you go to a CFL game, you can get excited. You can get thrilled. You can really let your hair down. Well, in my case, some hair down. But still, the fact remains, you can have a really good time. And the unfortunate truth of the matter is that, you know, Torontonians are a bit, I'm going to make a lot of enemies right now, but I'm really sorry. Torontonians are a little bit stuck up, number one. Number two, unfortunately, a lot of Torontonians weren't born in Toronto. Half the Torontonians don't even know what football is. Is it their fault? No, it's not their fault. You know, you come from a far-off land, you arrive in Canada, and you bring with you, you know, it is one of the biggest problems that we have in this country, and that is people do not believe in the melting pot theory. Everybody believes in the, you know, the tapestry, as Mr. And the Prime Minister of Canada back in the day, Trudeau, said. They believed in the quilt, the tapestry. That's what Canada was. What it basically means is what's here now is neglected and not, you know, the tradition, it ends. It's like Christmas in stores. You know, you don't see the Christmas decorations anymore. And that is the root. I'm sorry, Toronto. I'm sorry, Southern Ontario. I love this place more than anything, I got to tell you. But one thing I have to do, when I look in the mirror, I want to see who's there. I'm not going to pretend. So the fact remains, culturally speaking, we don't have a lot of people here who either know, understand, or in fact are willing to know what football's all about. So, Mick, in that regard, it's not a problem for the team being the Argos, but they got to figure out a way, the CFL's got to figure out a way to bring in new fans. And the only plan they've got thus far, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm more than willing to hear what people have to say, but in my opinion, here in Toronto, the plan is try to get the attention of the people who play the game. Get the youngsters that play the game, because odds on, they'll be the ones that are be willing to come and watch the game because they understand it, love it, and will be willing to participate in watching it. So now that isn't a negative. I just didn't give I didn't mean to sound negative about Toronto. I'm just trying to tell it like it is. That's all.
Yeah, I think on top of that as well, mate, I think they really need to get back to the I am Canadian type thing. Like, this is Canadians' game, and it's a great game, and get behind it and forget about the NFL team. You're probably never going to get one. So get behind the Canadian game. And right now, Argos have got probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time in the CFL, Ricky Ray. And Chad Owens, mate, that guy is one of the most exciting players I've seen in my 15 years of following the game. So if Owens doesn't get football fans excited, I don't know what can. And you see, it's image, mate. It's about being trendy, like you said, about being rich and trendy. Like, the Maple Leafs are trendy. Like, I sit and watch a game on TV, the Maple Leafs, there's hardly any jerseys in the crowd. It's all the rich people there. But it's so trendy to be a Maple Leafs fan. Unfortunately, it's not trendy to be an Argos fan. Well, we've got to change that somehow. Like, and I don't know, mate, I'm the biggest advocate. Well, I'm all across from Australia. I have watched nearly every game of CFL either on TV or been to the game in 14 years. So I truly love it. I love everything about it. We just got to pick it up. And this is the year the Argos can do it. They're coming off the 100th Grey Cup. They've got a damn good team again. And the rivalry now with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, that's back up to where it should be. I mean, yeah, the Tiger Cats, every year we think they're going to be good, but they should be good this year. So get behind the Argos Tiger Cats rivalry, and people just start to realize, hey, this is Canada's game. It's really good, you know. The Americans that come up, these Americans that make the CFL squads, they've only just missed out on NFL. And you know how many people come out of college each year and don't make the NFL? There's literally thousands of players that miss out on the NFL that are really good players. So these wide receivers and defensive guys from the U.S. that are making the Canadian teams are damn good players and not far off NFL. And as we see, some of them get back to the NFL. So the American talent is incredible now in the CFL.
Oh, and it's only going to get better. We're going to take a short break. We were referring to the NHL and hockey. You know, the only problem with an NFL team, look what's happened with the NBA in Toronto. They've been a total flop and a total failure. Can they be better? Absolutely they can be better. For sure. Yes, they could be better. They just haven't been, that's all. Will they, the first time they do anything, Ujiri is probably going to be a great GM. But they're acting as if like he pulled off a miracle because he got something for Bargnani. That's a little bit too, supportive from the supposed professional news guys. And when it comes to hockey, hockey's a game that supposedly Canadians know a lot about. Unfortunately, the biggest dummies in the country run the hockey teams. None of them have won a cup in 20 years. So, they're not very bright. You know, Canadian owners, when it comes to hockey, they're pretty freaking stupid, really. I mean, 20 years. I mean, they make more money. They make more money. The eight Canadian teams, is it eight? Is it eight or is it seven? No, I think it's seven. Going to be eight. Soon to be eight. Anyway, they make more money than the American teams put together. You know, they bring in more money than the American teams bring in. Canadian hockey fans, what do they get for it? Bubkis. They get nothing, man. All they get is second-rate hockey teams that, you know what an improvement is? You know what a good season is for a hockey team? They get in the playoffs. Great. You know, a Canadian team, I don't remember, other than Ottawa the last 2 years, when was the last time a Canadian team got into the second round other than Ottawa? You know, so sports fans, if you really want to have fun and you really want to enjoy a game that's made for you and that cares about you, the fan that shows up at that stadium in Canada, CFL football, buddy. At least, one of your teams is going to win. You see how the Canadian Football League has that figured out? They got rid of all the American teams to make sure they couldn't win it. So there's actually a Canadian winner. That's the amazing part. I always say, and this is the part I love the most about being a fan of the Canadian Football League. This is really it right here. I say it all the time, and I'm going to get tired saying it. And I'm going to say it till I die, and this is what I'm going to say. Montreal, Toronto, Hamilton, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, BC. What's not to like? So, be a true Canadian, like you said. You know, the trouble with us Canadians, Mick, is that we're candy asses. Canadians are candy asses. They're shameful. They're shameful people. They sit there sit on their hands while supposedly their greatest sport that they love and care about so much, they sit there and put up with 20 years, not of the Leafs not winning the cup. No, 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 no. Not of the Leafs in Montreal not winning the cup. No, 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 no. Not at the Leafs, Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg. Well, Winnipeg, we'll let them off the hook. They've been only around for a couple of years. Sorry, Vancouver. I mean, the leader of the pack to failure. Vancouver, great city, deserves better. What does it get? Nothing. They get the best team in hockey together. What do? They drop the ball. Well, actually, they're playing with a puck. They drop the puck. They don't know how to play hockey in Canada. That's the problem. Get used to it. And here's the other thing. I'm on my rant. You know what else? Canadian players don't like playing in Canada. What's up with that? The guy that does the play-by-play on the CBC, the color guy, what's his name, played for Edmonton. His sister, I think, is even somebody in the CBC. He sent a message to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Don't draft me. Don't draft me. I'm not coming to Toronto. I mean, come on, guys. You know, it's I'm sorry, Mick. I went on my rant. I got to take a pill because I think I've gone too far. I think I've really gone over the edge. I apologize, Mick.
Don't apologize. I'm totally with you. And all the people listening, he's dead right, because this is the Canadian players are part to blame. Two players from the 2010 Olympic gold medal played for Canadian teams. Luongo, shit in my pants, Luongo, and Jerome Iginla. Only
That's
two.
It.
They're all playing in America because they don't want the extra publicity. What a load of bull done. I'm with you, mate. I like hockey, but I love football. Love the CFL. Hockey, too many games. Gary Bettman is just an idiot. I can't believe it. I can't believe that people spend so much money going to the hockey game when the players played the night before, partied all night, flew a red eye, come back, and they're only 60% healthy. They're running around three-quarter pace, but people have paid hundreds of dollars to watch a players at a three-quarters trying. It's a joke. Playoffs are all right. But during the season, mate, I don't even watch it. I like hockey, love football, mate.
Well, I have this... I was going to write an article, and I eventually am going to do it. And then the article's called Hockey Not in Canada.
Hockey Not in Canada. What are you going to write about?
The playoffs. Hockey
yeah,
Not in Canada.
Yeah. I know. I mean, the thing is, mate, now people don't talk about it. 5 years ago, everyone was all worried, oh, when are we going to win the cup? When are we going to win the cup? Now they don't mention it because it's so embarrassing.
Absolutely. That's my point. You're 100% correct. It's embarrassing. You know, the owners of the Maple Leafs are new, admittedly. Admittedly, Rogers, Bell, okay. They bring in this guy from this organization that was to, if I understand this correctly, if I've got my facts straight, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I do believe Lewicki was the boss of the organization that was setting up the tour by Michael Jackson to go to England and Europe to make lots of money, and they were the ones who were in court accused of paying for the doctor that eventually allowed, and to be fair, I'm going to say allowed Michael Jackson to die. and now he's responsible for the Maple Leafs. Well, good for him, you know, but nobody's mentioned that at all. Nobody's mentioned his history. Well, why? I don't know, maybe not a good idea to mention that the guy's tied up with an organization that is about to be sold. And I'm talking about Anschutz Entertainment. And you know, it's just a joke. You know, at the end of the day, what's the responsibility of a fan? The responsibility of a fan is to pay good money for good entertainment. And the CFL is good entertainment. And I know
Absolutely.
It's good entertainment. And I believe, listen, I buy season tickets. Why do I buy season tickets? Because last year I had a chance with the help of John Granger and other people who showed me how little it costs to have a lot of fun. How little it costs to have a lot of fun. It really is cheap, relatively speaking. Those morons that sit in the silver section that don't even bother to come out for the game, they still sit under the seats there and have their dinner or whatever it is they're eating. The seats are empty when the hockey game starts, and there's probably 2 million people that wish they could be sitting in those empty seats. That's the travesty that is hockey. That is the shame that is hockey. That is the shame. And you know, the other travesty, and I'm sorry, CFL, I'm sorry, the Argos, the other travesty is the fans that don't appreciate a great game like the CFL. And to be at the Sky Dome, I'm sorry, the Rogers Center, to be sitting there watching a game and watching these guys put everything they've got into the game, seeing that they love the game. I was talking about the players. You've had a good chance to meet some of the players. The best kind of people in the world, and I'm talking about the American kids as well. These are people living their dream on a shoestring. These guys are living a dream on a shoestring. You know the best thing that happened to the American players here in the Canadian Football League this year? Do you know what it is?
What's that?
Do you have a guess or an opinion?
The best thing that's happened? Probably NBC and ESPN showing it more
Bingo.
Down America.
See, I knew I could count on you. I mean, can you imagine being Chad Kackert or Chad Owens or any other player in the CFL, And then you find out the league you're playing in is being broadcast almost every game, if not every game, in the U.S. And all your family and friends, you can call them and say, you can watch. You know how much pride those players have? Do you know how hard they're playing out there to play really good football, to really show themselves off? And by that, who really profits from that? You and I, my friend. The fans that pay to watch the CFL. There's an added energy in the CFL this year, and it really is. And I blame the Americans that are watching the game now. They've helped to make our league that much better because the players that are playing in our league that are American feel like they're at home. And you know what? Even before NBC was broadcasting, I bet you, well, I know this for a fact. A lot of American players that came here to play ended up staying here to live because Canada's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know, for us Torontonians, Southern Ontario people, we have no idea the kind of life there is in Saskatchewan, in Regina. The economy is booming. These players, once they leave football, they have an opportunity to make a decent living to support their family. I mean, you know, we're a very lucky country, and it saddens me, and I'm sorry if I offended anybody about my hockey talk, but I got to tell you, the No Hockey League for Canada is a joke. It's a travesty. Yeah. You know, it's a travesty. They take our money and give us nothing in return, and nothing for 20 years. You know, we're not talking about we didn't win again this year. We're talking about 20 years. No Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. But we footed the bill for most of it. In Toronto, we have all kinds of games. We have contracts that we sell to the Americans to split the money with the league that we support and pay for. Taxation without representation. Unfortunately, that's the case when it comes to the National Hockey. But in the CFL, when I buy my ticket to go see the Argos play, if they got a quarterback, I got a chance to watch a championship. And I was fortunate enough last year to sit in the Rogers Centre amidst all the Calgary fans who were very polite to me, other than putting my horn down. Put that down, because it had Argos on it. I had a wonderful time. And it was one of the best experiences I had. When that Rogers Centre was packed with fans watching the Argos play, I know I'm never going to see that again. I'm too old to be able to see that again. But I
guess where I was.
I did it. Where were you?
Mate, some years I get media passes. Some years I buy tickets. Some years I don't even go to the game. So this year I had so much fun leading up to it. I went to the greatest sports bar I've been to ever. The Real Sports down near the stadium was unbelievable on Grey Cup Day. So I was happy, mate. I didn't have to deal with all the stuff during the day. I was at Real Sports.
Hang on a second now.
It was amazing,
Meg,
mate.
Meg, you do realize they're owned by the Maple Leafs.
Well, it was good on that day, so hopefully some of the fans, they converted them into Argos fans.
You're right. No. Hey, listen, here's the thing about what you did. You had a chance to take part in the party, and the Grey Cup was a party. And this year, when it's in Saskatchewan, John Granger Chris Rudge knows how much I love him and knows how much I respect him. But, you know, he's trying to put something together in a place that refuses to let it happen. Saskatchewan, different story, baby. That's going to be one awesome party in Saskatchewan. Can you imagine what it's going to be like there?
Yeah.
Oh, you probably know what
it's a good and a bad thing. Saskatchewan, I went to Regina there in 2002. Obviously, the best fans. They're all over Canada. Now, this is good and bad. The actual Grey Cup has outgrown a city the size of Regina. So there's a lot of long-time fans are not going because they can't get accommodation. I'm hopefully going with a mate from Calgary that's got a mobile home. But, yeah, the Grey Cup's got so big now. There's not enough hotels in Regina, and it's a bit too cold to sleep in a tent. It was like minus 15 there in 2002.
You can sleep in a combine.
Yeah.
They park a few of those at the stadium.
Yeah.
No, you know what? The Hilton is being built there. There was a hotel there. They changed the name to the Hilton. They're not taking any reservations, but it's going to be the biggest hotel in Regina, and they're going to start taking reservations when they know they'll meet the timeline required. obviously they have to have the hotel built before the Grey Cup starts. So there will be a lot of opportunities for people to get hotels. But you're right. While we were at the prior to the Grey Cup game, the 100th Grey Cup that the Argos won against Calgary, it was already understood that all reservations were taken. There were no hotel rooms for the following Grey Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, see, what happened, this is a, there's a real community of CFL fans, and a lot of them started on Total CFL and stuff and these discussion boards, but there's a real community of fans that all know each other. Well, some of them are not going because they can't get accommodation. So this is the only negative I'm going to say about the CFL. It's nothing to do with the CFL. It's actually a tour company. One of the booking companies in Regina booked up all the hotel rooms so they can, at the last minute, sell these expensive packages for thousands of dollars. So it's upset a lot of people. And this tour company I'm talking about, I was actually a guest at one of their shows on the Friday night up in the top of the CN Tower, and I met the owner of the Red Blacks, Jeff Hunt. So I know the company, and it's a true story. It's really upset a lot of the diehard fans that this tour company's booked up most of the hotel rooms, and then of course the CFL has booked some as well. But big story, you check it out on the chats. A lot of people were not happy about that.
You know what? That company sounds like a real tool.
Yeah, not good, mate. Not good.
Okay, that went over like a lead balloon. All right, now I said we were gonna take a break. And I don't think we did. No, we didn't. See, you've got me. I don't know what you've done. You've stirred an inner passion that I've been trying to keep down, you know, because I'm a very, very introverted person. I'm not very outgoing. And that's my wife laughing in the back. That's my wife laughing in the background. You know, but you did stir these inner feelings of being a proud Canadian, and I am a totally proud Canadian, and I finally found my place. I gave up on hockey, and I'm very pleased that I know that for a fact there are a lot of great American young men that are in this league that do us proud in every city in Canada. So for that, I'm grateful. Now, I promised I would do... I have to do this fan thing because I'm an Argo lifer. I don't know if you know what that is. Basically, it means that I'm part of a group that likes to scream and yell in the stands in support of the Argos. But I want to say this to all the people who are listening today. Root for your team. Enjoy the CFL. I love every other team in the CFL. I love the CFL. If I was pressed into making, I'll be honest. Hamilton's my second favorite team. Saskatchewan is my third favorite team. Jay, I'm sorry. Edmonton right now isn't at the top of my list of favorite teams. I live in Toronto. I don't need to follow another team that's going to go through a tough time this year. So, you know, I love the CFL. And Ontario's fortunate that we'll have three teams next year. Yippee-yay-yay-kay-yay. Thank goodness. I'm so happy for the Ottawa football fans. The diehards there that have just lamented the fact that they haven't had a team. And they've been talking about this team before they had a name. They've been talking about this team before they actually had the franchise. They got to wait till December to find out who they're going to be cheering for. I think they have two or three players. The draft this year, they drafted a few players. They're the only players they actually have under contract or will have under contract or have the option to have under contract. So, you know, Ottawa's going to be really lucky, and it's going to be fun. I'm going to have to go there and see a game in Ottawa. I might have to develop the Mick disease, which means, go wherever there is Canadian football. I really respect and admire, and I'm jealous of your attitude and having such a nice history. So you've got me talking like I've never talked before. And for that, I don't know whether I'm grateful or I'm concerned. But I'm going to do this. Mick, listen, before we go away, I'm going to let you talk, and then I'm going to try and be quiet a little more. I'm just very grateful for your appearance on the program. You've really scratched an itch that I have, which is the deep pride I feel in the Canadian Football League. And it is new, and I hope there's more people like me that find their way into the CFL. So tell me a little bit about Grey Cup experiences. You talked about the 2002 one. Tell me, you talk for a while and tell us about the Grey Cup, and go on as much as you want and in as much depth as you wish, your Grey Cup experience and your Grey Cup memories.
Oh, mate, well, I got here in March 98. I've been to 12. I missed two. I went broke one year, and the other year I couldn't make it, so I've only missed a couple. I think when you talk highlights, every year there's something that really stands out. I probably got to start with 2005, when Scott Ackles did the most incredibly marketing job ever in regards to the CFL. They had the Grey Cup parade, and as you know, Vancouver's like little Hollywood. Well, friggin' Scott Ackles got Pamela Anderson there, and Pamela Anderson was discovered at a BC Lions game when she was like 16 years old. They showed her on the big screen, the crowd went off, a brewery rep from the Labatt Brewery signed her, and then the story goes from there. So the fact that they got Pamela Anderson there, so all us guys are in the parade, right? Well, I carried around this cardboard cutout of Pamela, full size in a red bikini, red Baywatch bathers. I carried that around for 4 days with the Aussie hat on. I reckon hundreds of people wanted a picture of this cardboard cutout that I carried around, got in the Vancouver magazine, everything. Anyway, in the parade, mate, she just howled laughing. So I had a conversation. I had a Jerry Seinfeld-type conversation with the real Pamela Anderson in the 2005 parade. So that's hard to top, mate. That's hard to top. But the Edmonton ones were fantastic. Toronto was really good last year, like the 100th Grey Cup, just because there was so many more events and so many people came. The 100th was really good. Montreal's great. Calgary's great. I've had a fantastic time at pretty much all of them, but like I said, each year there's something different that really stands out in my mind, whether it's radio or we did the snowball in Calgary, organized the game with the fans, and I filmed it. So every year there's something great. But just the fans that dress up, mate, that's why I fell in love with it. I had a digital camera in 1999 and a media pass, and I've made this movie. And the 25 minutes of Grey Cup that is in this movie, 20 minutes of it is from 1999, just because I caught so much natural comedy of the fans dressed up. So the fans are great, mate. And every year it's like, for the last couple of years I've been going, God, is my body going to handle another 5 days of partying? But you just keep doing it because you can't say no, you know?
Absolutely, you can't say no. You, obviously, when you came here, run me through that first moment when you became aware of the CFL.
It was Halloween 1998. I live with a couple of Toronto fellas in Vancouver. I had a really good job selling computer software. And a buddy had a free ticket to a Halloween game, BC Lions Calgary. And I'm sitting there. Damon Allen was quarterback for the BC Lions, and Jeff Garcia was quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders. And I'm going, this is amazing. Look at this game. The fans were going crazy. People were dressed up for Halloween. I went out afterwards, had a great night. I went home, and one of my mates was already in bed. I went in his bedroom, just started hitting him, going, how can you Toronto fellas rip into the CFL and diss the CFL? That was fantastic. So it all started for me from there. And then 1999, I'd done some media work in Australia. Me and my buddy interviewed Greg Norman. That was amazing. I could sit next to Greg Norman after he won the South Australian Open in about 96, I think. So I got a media pass for 1999 Grey Cup. And it said I could go everywhere except for the change rooms. Well, I was in the change rooms with the Tiger Cat players, mate, after they won. So that's 3 or 4 days of 1999 Grey Cup in Vancouver just started it all for me. And then from there I went to Calgary, and as a BC Lions fan, I got to Calgary 2 weeks earlier. I got transferred in a job there. And the Calgary media were making out they'd already won the Grey Cup. I said, hey, look, you've got to get there first. So 2 weeks before I moved to Calgary, I saw the BC Lions beat Montreal in Calgary in 2000. So I just said, well, this is for me. Like, there's some really good natural coincidences happening. So a lot of fun. Then 2001, Montreal, I filmed a lot and won some stuff on Calgary TV with this incredible interview of this girl showing her lucky Winnipeg bra. So it just kept going, mate. Just kept going and going for years. And like I said, I missed two because I had to. And that really hurt, you know?
If there was a moment, you know, people are going to want to, they're all basically sitting at computers going, Frank, go to a break. I want to go to the bathroom. Frank, go to a break. I want to go get a beer. But you know what, guys? Suffer, baby, because I'm going to ask him another question. Now, here's the thing that I find, you know, as an immigrant, because that's what you are, right? I'm not asking you to play Zeppelin's Immigrant on. I'm just, what I'm going to say is this, is that what could we do as Canadian football fans to help other cultures understand the game of Canadian football? Unfortunately, that's part of the problem here in Toronto. That's the main reason why I asked you about the correlation between the game of Australian rules football and, you know, Canadian football. What can we say about European football, South American football? You know what football I'm referring to. We call it here soccer. That those people that come to this country with no knowledge of our game, but do know a lot about soccer. In your mind, are there any similarities or any things that, you know, other than the fact that when you hit somebody in football, they don't fall down crying and screaming. Other than that, what are the similarities between Canadian football and soccer? Can you see any?
Well, talk about falling down and crying. The Italians are the worst at that. Those Italians,
hey, easy,
play,
buddy.
They should be in LA. They're actors. I don't know, mate.
Did I mention my Italian heritage? I just thought I'd throw that in there at that point.
Well,
did I mention my Italian heritage? Why are you talking about us like that? You're hurting my feelings. I'm on the ground right now crying about it. I'm writhing in pain with the insult.
Yeah. I can't really see many similarities between soccer and CFL. I actually don't like soccer. I mean, I watched the World Cup, but I really don't like soccer. I think it's a good game for the girls to play because it's, you know, they don't get injured and it gets the team camaraderie-ship together. But I think the biggest thing is we need to convert all these NFL fans that are Canadians that diss on the CFL. And there's literally millions and millions of those, especially in Toronto, that for some reason love the NFL but will not watch the CFL. Just start watching TSN. I mean, TSN have done a fantastic job with the CFL, especially Friday Night Football. So I just think everyone should just start watching the TSN, listening to the great commentators, their great knowledge, their camera work is fantastic. Like, TSN is a really top-notch quality product. You know, it's not on NFL film standard, but it's not far off. So I just think mainly convert those NFL fans to CFL, and then we can work on the immigrants like me, you know. I'm an immigrant, but the immigrants that follow soccer, start to watch the CFL and maybe through TSN to start through that and then go to a game and see the fans dressed up and buy a jersey. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens here in Ottawa, because I was at a bar on Sunday and talking this nice lady with a Brazil shirt on, and then Brazil played Spain, and next minute the bar was packed out. But I don't see bars packed out here on Friday nights watching the CFL. So, you know, they got some work to do here too, mate.
Well, you know, and this is a totally biased comment, okay? I love TSN, and anybody that listens to this program knows how much I respect and love TSN. I really do. In fact, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back after this, okay? No, wait. Hang on a second. Wrong one, dude. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this. Here we go. In honor of my BC friend.
Travis Lule.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's accurate,
articulate.
He's a winner,
champion.
He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning, TSN 1050. Okay, we've got another caller that almost booted us off. Okay, Mick, I want you to meet Mike. Are you ready? Mick, say hello to Mike.
How's it going, Mike?
Hey, Mick, how you doing?
Good, man.
All right.
You want to join the conversation, Mikey?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Frank?
This is Minnesota Mike, Aussie Mick, and freaking Frank the Frankcaster. Just call me the Frankcaster. How's right. that? Frank the Fancaster. Mike, you've heard what we've had to say. You got something you want to add?
Yeah, I was just, I don't know if you, I just actually tuned in, so I don't know if you guys were previewing this next week's games yet.
No, we haven't done that yet, and out of respect for you, I'd be more than glad to do so.
Okay.
We've got some really interesting matchups this week. One repeat performance, you know, that's neither here or there, but we've got the Argos in BC, and since Mick is here and Mick has some roots in BC, Mick, you want to take that first battle that we're talking about this week?
Oh, mate, that's going to be really interesting. Like, if it wasn't in BC, I'd go for the Argos, but I really think in BC, and after their bad loss to Calgary last week, I will think BC Lions will win just, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Argos win at all. They've just got some power. They got a great momentum going. But I'll go for the Lions just. Maybe it's my heart, but I think the home field's going to help there.
What do you think, Mike?
No, I hear what he's saying, but I think I'm taking the Argos. Actually, when I look at, you know, last year they actually played BC towards the end of the season, and it was a really good game. It came down to the wire, and you look at the BC Lions, they're just not the same team they were the last 2 years. You know, they've lost a lot of good players on defense. And even if you look at some of their, you know, their core guys like, you know, Corey Banks and Dante Marsh, are just, they don't have the same, they just kind of lost a step. So I look at BC as like, you know, we still think of them as a team that they were last season. I just don't think they're that team anymore. And I think the Argos have got to the point where they're going to start to establish the fact that they are really, in my opinion, the best team in the league, and I think they're going to go in there and pull out a narrow victory.
Mick, rebuttal?
Mate, you know what? He could well be right, and I am worried about the BC Lions. Wide receivers. We lost G-Roy Simon and Arlen Bruce, two of my most favorite players ever since I've been here, and he's right. Our defense is getting a little bit older, but I think we were by far... Oh, it's going to upset the Argos. I think we were the best team last year, but we didn't get hot in the playoffs. And as you know, all you need to do is get in the playoffs and get hot. We were the best team. So talent-wise, I'm not worried. I think our wide receivers might take a little bit of time to get going, but no, I'm confident we'll sort it out. And with Wally still out there, GM, and, you know, he's got them organized. I'm confident we'll be up there again this year. But Calgary's looking good. I hate to say it, but Calgary's looking strong too.
Yeah.
Well, it still is early in the season. We're only in week two. We got to get up there to 18. You know, and then of course November comes in with all the fun games that start. Football more than any other sport. Well, no, actually, soccer. They have this. This is a similarity that I was asking before what the similarities are between soccer and Canadian football. It's one and you're out. You know, you've got to really be prepared for each and every game. There is no time to recover. You have to play your best game when you go out on that field. So preparation is everything, and that's where I give the Argos an advantage now, with only because of the team and the management that they have. They're ready to go. I see a parallel between two teams, BC and Montreal, two powerhouses that might have a little They might hit a speed bump. I'm not saying they're going to crash and burn, but I think Montreal and BC this year will be hitting a couple of speed bumps, only because they had the opportunity to have that kind of year. You know, the 10-4 BC Lions should have won the Grey Cup. Instead, the 9-9 Argos did. But that's what the CFL is all about. It's how you finish, not how you start. So right now we're in the start of the season. So I will not be surprised if BC beats Toronto, but I don't think it'll be a death knell for the Toronto Argonauts if they do lose. Their defense didn't look so good against Hamilton, but I believe it's because Hamilton's offense was that good. But that's just me. Any rebuttal, guys, on that game?
Yeah, I think you also have to remember with that Hamilton game, it was most of the points Hamilton put up were in the first half. In the second half, they only gave up 3 points. And I thought defensively they did really nice until that last drive. So I think what we saw in that Hamilton game was a case of, you know, defensive coordinator Chris Jones really didn't know what to expect from Ken Austin and what type of offense he was going to run. So they were sort of caught off guard. And then once they had, you know, the first half to see what they did at halftime, he made the adjustments. And they basically shut them down the second half. They only gave up 3 points. So I think that, you know, that first game, we shouldn't read too much into it because it was sort of a surprise factor for the Argos. So, but going into this game, they know what the BC Lions are going to do. The BC Lions have had the same coaching staff for the last 3 years now. And, you know, Chris Jones has been familiar with them in his years in Calgary, going up against, you know, Jacques Chaptelain, their offensive coordinator, many times. So it's pretty... I think the Argos have what it takes on defense, because the key thing with the Lions is they like to run a lot of that outside, you know, running around the tackles with Andrew Harris and getting him the balls in the flat. But the Argos have those two outside linebackers in Brandon Isaac and Marcus Ball who have the speed and the coverage ability to, you know, take that away. And once you take away that underneath short stuff from the Lions, that just stifles their offense. And that's what Calgary did to them last year. So I think the Lions are just a team that we have this impression in our mind that they're this great team, but they're all about matchups. And if you have the right matchups, you can exploit that. And I think the Argos have the matchups in their favor this time around.
Mick?
I'd just like to say that what Mike just said then was like an expert commentary. So it just shows the quality of CFL fans. And I had pleasure listening to his breakdown of the game. Fantastic.
I'm ready to turn off my mic.
I appreciate
Mike
that,
is a guy. Very Mike is a very intelligent guy. We're all very, the whole cast and crew of Candid Frank Live were disappointed when Mike's mic went down at the Argo festivities at Shoeless Joe's. We were really disappointed that we dropped your call there. I don't think we did it. I think it's just something that happened. We love Mike. He's our favorite caller. He's number one on our list of intelligent folks when it comes to football. Mike, I agree with you, and I will add to what you said in as far as Chris Jones. Chris Jones loves a challenge. This year, all his defensive players, all of them, are either first or second year guys, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And this guy loves to teach. This guy loves a team that has high energy, young, rambunctious, almost you know, like carefree kind of guys. The term they love to use is they love to fly around. That's what they like to do. They like to fly around. And they're like a bunch of killer bees looking for the ball. That's what they're after. And it's that kind of energy and hard work that Chris Jones expects. When players were let go by the Toronto Argonauts, and there were a lot of disappointments, you know, as far as fans were concerned, they lost a lot of players that they liked. Mm-hmm. It's not because those players lost a step or aren't that good. It's because the players that Jim Barker brought in were better. And that's why I agree with you, not this game, but we're going to see. But, you know, I have to also think about what you said, because you're right. They held Hamilton to only 3 points in the second half. And you just, it sounded to me when you said that, Mike, thank you for saying that, it sounded to me like the Grey Cup game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, when it comes to coaching in football in general, more than any other sport, it's all about your ability to make adjustments. and to sort of, you know, counter what the opponent's game plan is. And I think that's what set the Argos on that huge run last year was Milanovic and Chris Jones' ability to just make adjustments on the fly and to find out, okay, what is this team coming at us with? Let's make a quick counter. We're going to hit them on this area and go. And that's what teams, I think, were kind of overwhelmed as, you know, the only reason the Argos had a 9-9 record last year, we have to remember, is the first half of the year, they struggled for about 3-4 games. And it was because the players hadn't quite got a grasp of the system both on offense and defense. But once the second half of the year came and they really got it, I mean, we saw Ricky Ray play like flawless football the last 4 games of the season. I mean, the guy was like perfect. And then once the playoffs hit, we saw Chris Jones' defense just completely come alive, and the guys finally got the system and they bought in, and we saw it culminate in the Grey Cup where they just completely demolished John Cornish. They made Kevin Glenn look like he was some guy that just walked out of the stands and put on a helmet. I mean, so when it comes to that's my reason of confidence in the Argos is I know that their coaching staff is, in my opinion, head and shoulders above every other coaching staff in the CFL, and it's not even close. And I really mean that. I mean, once Mark Sussman left, Milanovic completely took in the torch. Chris Jones showed that, whether it's John Huffnagel, even last year going up against Mark Trestman, he can break down and just, I mean, the way he attacks offenses in the CFL to me is amazing. And I'm blown away by their, just from a strategy standpoint and how they do things, I think they're great.
It's been 5 years since Ken Austin was away from the CFL. And the quote I heard that he mentioned was that he can't believe how much defenses have improved in the Canadian Football League in the 5 years that he's been gone.
Yeah.
And it's because of guys like Chris Jones. Before we turn this into the Argo show, let's move on to some other teams that are playing as well. As much as I'd like it to be the Argo show, Winnipeg and Montreal have a reprise of the game, the first game ever played in Investors Group Field. They're going now to Montreal, you know, and how do you guys feel, starting with you, Mick? Haven't heard your voice in a minute or so.
Yeah,
how do you
that,
feel
Mick.
About that? No, don't apologize. Every word you have to say is I'm leaning on every one. Montreal, Winnipeg, Mick?
I got to say Montreal at home. I mean, I agree. I think Montreal, I actually think they might finish third. I think it might be Argos, Tiger Cats, although Tiger Cats let us down every year. I think Alouettes might actually finish third in the East.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they're a little bit rebuilding. I mean, losing Mark Trestman is quite big. Bombers are not as bad as they looked right in the trial games, but I'm a huge Buck Pearce fan. I just really hope, for the sake of Winnipeg and the sake of the CFL, that he stays healthy. Because he's a winner. He's a winner. I don't agree with him losing all that weight. I think he should have kept the muscle on, like what Milt Stegall was saying. I agree he should have kept some muscle on. I just hope with Buck Pearce staying fit, there's always a chance. But Alouettes at home should win.
Your turn, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to say first, how about that game last week? Well, what a stadium they had in Winnipeg. That thing was absolutely beautiful.
It sure was.
Yeah, that was... That's a shame. I you know, when you look at the Bombers, I think what we saw in that game is the fact that at home, I think the Bombers are going to be one of the tougher teams to beat this year. But I think on the road, you know, to Mick's point, I don't think they're going to be the same team on the road. I think we're going to see a team that's going to struggle. But for whatever reason, they've had Montreal's number the last 2-3 years. If you guys have sort of noticed, they've always, I don't know if it's Tim Burke or what it is, but for whatever reason, they always give Montreal trouble. And I just have this funny feeling that they're going to walk into Montreal tomorrow and pull a win out, just because, you know, they're going to be, you know, they're going to have that revenge factor and, you know, getting embarrassed at home and the home opener like that. I just feel like, and to his point, Buck Pearce is if he can stay healthy, if he stays upright, you know, we saw what he did in the third quarter when he just led that huge run, and I think he could, you know, if he comes out and can be efficient and, you know, not make any turnovers, I think they have a shot. But I'd have to go with them. I think Mick's right. They'll probably win. I just, in my heart, like him, I kind of root for Buck Pearce, so I hope they do, but my brain says the Bombers are going to lose the game.
Well, I don't think that Winnipeg is loser peg. I happen to think that They will be Winnipeg this. They will be Winnipeg this week against Montreal, and I believe it has to do with recent history. And that recent history is, of course, that whitewashing by Hamilton, that a total, I don't know, embarrassment that Winnipeg had. They're due for a victory. They haven't won in a while, you know. And I truly believe that they're far more talented than they've been given credit for. I agree with both of you that Buck Pearce is a very talented quarterback. And believe me, if Winnipeg was healthy last year, Edmonton wouldn't have crossed over. Or when I say Winnipeg, of course I mean Buck Pearce. You know, the CFL is notorious. If you don't have a quarterback, you might as well stay home, it seems. So, you know, Buck Pearce is a quality quarterback. I believe it's time for Winnipeg to, you know, to get a break, and I think it will be in Montreal. And I think Montreal, believe it or not, more than any other year, is going to be nervous at home because they can see the writing on the wall. You know, this coach has no coaching experience. I love the guy. You know, ask him to talk in front of a camera. Dude's got it all. But you know, this is a different story here. This is what happens when the team loses a game that they should have won. That's going to be the interesting question. And you know, I'm not saying that the Montreal Alouettes are a house of cards, because that's not true. You know, everybody knows the pop culture, right? I mean, the pop culture is win. That's what it is. But I just happen to think that Winnipeg hasn't won in a while. I think they want to feel some victory. They want to taste some victory. And I think you're going to get surprised by Winnipeg. I don't think they're going to let the second half fiasco that happened at home happen again against Montreal, and I happen to think that they'll have a good start and they'll beat Montreal, but it'll be close. It'll be doubtful, but it'll be close. You guys have any rebutting on that game? Anything you missed that you want to add? Starting with you, Mike, anything you want to add?
Mick, you go ahead.
No, that's good. I agree, mate. I agree. Al should win, but again, it could be another close game, and great for the CFL. We could be two. Those two games could go either way. But I think the Owls.
But okay. I mean, think about, like for the players, though, after leaving, you know, Investors Group Field and just, you know, that great environment and just a beautiful facility, to go from that to Molson Stadium in Montreal, which it's not a bad stadium, but, I mean, like, it's such a drop-off, you know? Like, imagine... I just don't think it's going to be that good of a game, because that game last Thursday, I mean, was such the atmosphere was so electric, and it just brought it out of the guys. Like the same way that Argos Ticast game, it was a great crowd at the Rogers Center, and it was electric atmosphere. And when that happens, players step up, and they, you know, they get them more revved up, and they really get going. But you know, when we saw the other two games, the Calgary BC game and the Saskatchewan Edmonton game, those games, the crowds wasn't really that packed, and it wasn't that great of an atmosphere, and we saw two pretty much really boring kind of dud games. So this time around, I just Montreal, I don't know, they haven't sold out that stadium in a while, and I just don't think it's going to be that great of an atmosphere, and I think we're going to see kind of a slow, boring kind of dud of a game. So I'm really not looking forward to it.
By Canadian Football League standards. By Canadian Football League
standards.
Well,
yeah, of course.
By NFL standards, it's probably one of the most exciting games that a person watching the NFL gets to see. So you're ahead of the game there. Okay, now we got this. I consider this the highlight game of the week. It has to be, in my mind. And I'm not talking about Edmonton and Hamilton. I'm talking about Calgary and Saskatchewan.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is the best game right there. Mick, go ahead. Well, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, mate, my last comment about the Owls and Bombers wasn't too good, because I started thinking about this game. Wow, I hope the Riders win. I'm not real keen on those Rockstar Stampeders. I call them Rockstars because there's three or four of them guys in that team that just think they're so good, and it kind of rubs off on the other rest of the team. Huffnagel's a great coach. I thought he might have sorted them all out, but he hasn't. So there's still rock stars out there in Calgary, but they're a good team. I hate to say it. And with Nick Lewis, oh, my God, he's got to be one of the greatest CFL players. Tough, incredible, incredible player. Nick Lewis still looking good. The thing with the Riders, oh, I'm so upset. I bought a brand-new BC Lions jersey with G. Roy Simon on the front last year for the Grey Cup. Well, that's now defunct. But the good thing is, And I don't like to talk any negative about the CFL, but this Dwight Anderson from Calgary, then he went to Alouettes, and now he's at the Riders. He has been a goose. He's been a total idiot ever since he joined the CFL. I've seen him out there in Calgary. He's waving to the flag, fans. He's just an idiot. The CFL, the TSN guys always talk about him. He can play, though. But you saw him last week, first game for the Riders. He's causing That's trouble. Right. He's what they call a cancer in the locker room. So Dwight Anderson, I hope the Riders get rid of him. But no, I think the Stamps will win just out there in Regina.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a revolt in Regina if that happens, though. Go ahead, Mike. I just wanted to say that poor Anderson, his reputation precedes him. He gets a bad call. I mean, he didn't do the motion that they accused him of, that cutthroat motion. He wasn't guilty, but he didn't let it go. He just refused to let it go.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing about that game, which is kind of interesting, is that they have the additional, like they expanded the stadium because they have the Grey Cup there this year. And Frank, do you know Rod Peterson, the play-by-play guy for the Riders?
No, I don't, sir. I got to meet one of the owners of the Riders recently. We chatted a little bit. He'll be on the show one of these weeks. But no, I haven't met. I know of Rod Peterson. I just don't know him.
Okay. Yeah. He was saying on his show earlier that they sold about 34,000 tickets already, and they're expecting the largest crowd for a Rider home game ever. And if that's the case, I just think that. I mean, could you guys imagine what it would be like if there's 40,000 Rider fans? I mean, I know Calgary's a good team, but that's going to be an absolute jungle in there. I just don't know how the Riders could win that game just on pure emotion alone. I mean, the Riders at that made huge additions on defense, Dwight Anderson being one of them. But the other two guys were Ricky Foley, you know, the former Argo, and John Chick, the 2009 Defensive Player of the Year. And if
Four years in the NFL.
All right, he's talented. I mean, if you saw that game against Edmonton last week, they beat Mike Riley to the ground. I mean, TSN had a stat where they said they kept track of how many pressures and hits they had on the quarterback.
It was awesome.
I mean,
they had
almost like 20 hits on the guy. I mean, by the end of the game, you could see him visibly just hobbling. Like he looked like a broken person. I mean, you know, if they can maintain that kind of pressure, I mean, you could have Barney the Dinosaur back there playing in the secondary. If you get that kind of pass rush, there's no chance for the offense. And I know Drew Tate's a mobile quarterback and everything, but we all know, similar to Buck Pierce, he's got a history of, you know, injury problems. And if they can get to him the way they did to Mike Riley, there's a high probability we're going to see Kevin Glenn in that game. And if that happens, I think we all know what the outcome will be. So I'm picking the Riders to win by at least a touchdown.
I won't argue that. I won't argue anything you just said right there because I'm right there with you. Calgary had Calgary is a great team. There's no doubt about it. Again, I repeat, the intensity of the games is increased because a lot of these American players know their games are being seen back home, their friends, their family. Former coaches, former teammates, they're all watching these guys play. And, you know, this contract with the NBC, these kind of games here, the Saskatchewan-Calgary game, they're going to be a great advertisement for the CFL in the United States, not just for people to watch, but people to come and play. That's the part that I'm excited about. And you know, there's nothing that excites people more than excitement. And maybe some of that will rub off on us Toronto old fogies over here that like to sit on our hands. The final game of the week happens on Sunday. It'll be late afternoon game. It'll be in Hamilton. I'm wondering if I should go to that game because Edmonton's going to be there. A couple of the kids that I interviewed before draft day that made it are playing for Edmonton. They've got some decent young talent. Edmonton, talk about where's the beef. Well, it's on the offensive line. Did you see that hit this week?
Oh,
the rookie, the 20-year-old?
Yeah.
I just saw somebody implode. I could not believe. He was and it was a really clean hit. It was a shoulder-to-shoulder hit.
Yeah. You're talking about the play on the interception when the guy hit him in the sideline?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure,
yeah, he cleaned his clock. Yeah, that was nice.
Oh, what a hit. And the kid's 6'11", 340 pounds. And
yeah,
like the announcer said, he came to a complete stop. I don't think he came to a stop. I think he headed in the other direction when he got hit. Holy crap, was that an awesome hit.
Yeah.
Devastating. Devastating. It's on my Facebook page for those of you that follow me on Facebook. I passed that one along. That was an awesome hit. Yeah, I had to watch it again today. It was so awesome. So you know, Edmonton is the team. They're my pick at the end of the year to have a poor year to begin with, but will make an awesome rush at the end of the season in an attempt to make the playoffs. But I do believe they'll fail. But I do believe that this year will set up next year's progress. You know, they're in tough. They've got a lot of young players. They lack the kind of confidence. And this year's a tough year playing in the Western Division for Edmonton. And Hamilton is going to, well, like they say in Hamilton, Hamilton will probably eat them raw.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the tough game to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Last year, if you remember, they at home, they beat them 51-8. I don't know if you remember that game last year. That was the one great game that the Ticats had last season. But I don't know. I just, you know, Edmonton, their issue is, like you said, they got talent. I mean, I think Mike Riley's going to be a good QB, and Hugh Charles is a good running back, and they got good receivers. It's just their offensive line is just, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the Riders' defensive line was great or their offensive line was just inexperienced or whatever, but they were just, I mean, they were like matadors out there. It was just ole all day. I mean, they were just letting them through. It was like they were inviting Mike Riley just to get beat down. But I think that, you know, this could be the game that the Hamilton's, you know, defense finally looks good and maybe get into a rhythm and get, you know. And, you know,
isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Confidence is what stirs the drink in any sport for any team. It's not even about ability, you know, but to get that confidence, you have to work hard before the game starts. The Canadian Football League and football in general is all about preparation. And without the appropriate preparation, I just don't think the Edmonton Eskimos have the ability to be prepared for a lot of the opposition they're going to meet today. Mick, I'm sorry, I probably talked over your turn, bud.
No, you're right, mate. I agree. I think the Eskimos and the Bombers will be the two that miss out in the playoffs. But the good thing about Edmonton, I agree, they're going to struggle. I really think so. But they've got a good man at the helm now. Ed Hervey, the great wide receiver, he's a terrific fella. And that's a great appointment to get him up running the show out there. Tiger Cats, oh, they just disappoint every year. We think they're going to be great, but they're going to miss that Chris Williams. I mean, what an electric player. I thought he was going to win the most outstanding player of the whole year last year. He was my tip with Owens, but they'll miss him. But, yeah, Tiger Cats, Burris.
Hang on a second.
Overrated last year. Halfway through the season, they were thinking of benching Burris. Yeah, he had a good last few games, but I don't know, mate. Henry Burris can be too up and down. So if he gets really consistent and the Tiger Cats get some discipline, they can really challenge the Argos for the top position. But I think the Tiger Cats will win big at home. But who knows, mate? They've let us down so many times before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you serious? Are you really serious? What was his name? Lamb? The guy that ran back the kickoff?
No, Lindsay Lamar.
Lamar, that's it. Lamar, thank you. I was in the stadium, and I couldn't tell what his name was on his back because it was blurry. I mean, he blew through the Argos defense or coverage or special teams, whatever you want to refer to it as. He blew through them like they were, you know, crap through a goose. I mean, he was amazing. And he almost broke another one a little later. Here's my point with Williams. Stay home. It's quite all right. Sign a contract. Don't collect your money. Stay home. That's what I would be saying if I was Ken Austin. I wouldn't take the dude back. You know what?
Oh,
I mean,
he's good.
He's awesome. But you want to know something? There's also a thing where a man should be true to his word. You know, it's about being, you know, we're getting back to that discussion we had about Edwards. You know what I mean? sometimes what happens in the CFL is you get players sometimes who price themselves off the team. It's that simple. It's not complicated. There's a dark black line right across the page above the players. If the money adds up past that black line, if it goes over that black line, you got to get rid of somebody. And if the reason why that the money goes over the black line is a guy in particular is asking for more money, you got to get rid of him. You know, the Argos got rid of Corey Boyd. The talk was that it was because of money. And it probably was about money. You know, there was some talk that he didn't do this and he didn't do that. I happen to believe that Corey's a great running back, you know. But it's hard when you're in the CFL and it's a cutthroat business. You know, Jim Barker's not a sweetheart. You know, Milanovic is not a sweetheart. They decided the best thing to do was to jettison Boyd, whom I think is a wonderful person and a great talent. But they did it because of the cap. And the cap is for real. It's not a pretend thing. It's real. You know, if you want to make half the money the team puts out, you're not going to play for that team.
Right.
And then if you signed a contract, I love Williams. He's a great talent. I'm sure he's a wonderful person. But whoever's given him the advice, you know, has given him bad advice. You know, honor your contract. If there's nothing else that we as human beings have, it's our word. And if he can't keep his word as far as it, like I know he's help me understand why he thinks he doesn't have to fulfill his contract. Can either of you guys, Mike, can you explain to me? I don't understand that part.
Okay, the reason that they had this whole issue was his agent when he first showed up, this was 2 years ago, wasn't a certified agent on the, you know, the CFLPA list. And apparently he was supposed to be offered a 1 year plus an option contract. That's the standard rookie contract that all rookie free agents are supposed to be given. And instead, his agent had negotiated him a 2 year with an option contract. And because of that, that was the issue. So his whole thing was he tried to go to arbitration and say, well, because my agent wasn't certified and that I wasn't offered the standard contract, he felt like his contract should have been voided, which had allowed him to go pursue an NFL job. But the Ticats, and rightfully so, they made the argument saying, well, that's neither here nor there. You agreed to the contract, therefore you're as binding. And the arbitration gave them they gave the verdict to the Ticats. And, you know, with Chris Williams, I mean, the thing is, Lindsay Lamar is a great, you know, kick returner. And I got to make a shameless plug here. I have a CFL blog that I just started a couple of days ago. It's called truecflfan.blogspot.com. Just throw it out there. But anyways, in my blog, I nicknamed Lindsay
what
Lamar.
What was it? What was it? What was that site?
Okay, truecflfan.blogspot.com.
And don't forget to mention it before you go off the air tonight, okay?
All right, I'll do that, definitely. And so in my blog, I nicknamed Lindsay Lamar Chris Who. And the great thing is he has the ability to be a fantastic returner. If we remember, in both the two preseason games prior to last week, he had a returner in each one. But the one thing that he can't replace, and this is where they're going to miss Chris Williams, is his ability to be a great deep threat as a wide receiver. That's where they really, I think, is going to hurt him, because if you look at their receiving corps, they got guys like Fantuz and Samuel Jaguar and, you know, Bakari Grant and whatnot. But all those guys are what you would consider possession receivers. They're not really speed guys that can just fly down the field and, you know, just take the top off the defense. So without having a guy like that, that's going to hurt him, you know, I think. But
Mike, having said that, Fantuz was in the shadows of the goalpost with nobody near him.
Yeah, that was
and caught a pass.
Yeah, I mean, just because, like, the defense kind of, like, Matt Black on that play, he was the safety. He was supposed to pick him up, and he was supposed to cover him deep, but he went to someone else. That's why Fantuz got open, because, I mean, Fantuz is a good receiver, but he's not the fastest guy. I mean, he looks like he's, like, jogging out there half the time. I've never, you know, he's never been known as a speed guy. He's been all about being a big physical guy that can break tackles and, you know, but I don't know.
I hear you.
Be okay, but you can't replace a talent like Chris Williams. I mean, let's be real, guys. What he did last year was phenomenal. I mean, 17, you know, was it kickoff returns or was it just returns in general, punt and kickoffs, right?
I think 17. Well, you know, he had almost half of all in the league. of all of them in the league. He accounted for almost half. That's how good he is. That's how good he is. And you're right. But all I'm saying is that when you know, I'm gonna use a different terminology, and my sporting experience is sometimes subtract by you can improve by subtraction. In other words, sometimes somebody going makes the team better. They don't necessarily have to bring anybody back. It's just a reality in sport. Unfortunately, again, Williams hired the agent, not the CFL, not the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He hired the agent. If he hired an agent, was that agent suggested by the CFL? Did he do his due diligence to make sure that this guy knew what he was doing? Was he cheaper than the guy that he should have had, and maybe he made that mistake? Well, that's a lesson for all the CFL players to learn, and that is be careful who your agent is, because they might have a brain fart, or don't have a brain to begin with, or good enough for what we're talking about. I sympathize with the great season that he had. I understand the 1 year plus an option, but unfortunately he signed a contract. And I hope this doesn't ruin his career or create a situation that he doesn't deserve, and that is hardship on his ability to make a living for himself and his family. Because he hasn't done anything wrong that I can see and believe that he needs to be punished in this way. But unfortunately it's the circumstances of life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we wish him the best. Chris, I hope to see you in a Tie Cats uniform so I can boo you at the Rogers Center. and I know for a fact that I'm going to dread the thought of you coming back to the Tie Cats. But, that's what he should do. And I wish the Tie Cats, could cut him some slack somehow and maybe chop up, call this the option year and give the kid a chance to chase his dream. I think part of that is what I think Hamilton should do. If it's true and if it's believable, because I'm not there and I don't know the situation, but if he was taken a little bit, I hope that Hamilton's a class organization. I don't think there's anybody in football who's any classier than Mr. Austin. He's a great guy. He has made a lot of enemies, but only because he does his job so well, So I wish Williams an opportunity to seek his dream, but unfortunately it is what it is. So the Tie Cats, I guess we're all agreeing that the Tie Cats are going to win.
Yep.
You two say Calgary are going to win, and I say Saskatchewan's going to win.
No, I picked the Riders. Actually.
Oh, you picked the Riders? Okay. So,
yeah.
And Mick, did you pick the Riders too?
No, I went Stamps.
Okay, so the two of us, Mike and Frank, say Stampeders over Calgary. I picked the BC Lions to beat the Argos. I'm an Argo fan, but I'm picking the BC Lions to beat the Argos at home. You two?
Yeah, no, I went Lions, yep.
Yeah, well, Argos.
Okay. Your loyalty is outstanding. And I went Winnipeg, and you two said Montreal?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, hopefully we can get together again next week and we can review how well we did.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back for more. You're with Mike from Minnesota. I still don't know Mike's last name. And Mick, the Aussie Canadian Football League fan. You're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio and Rouge Radio. We hope you're enjoying the program. The whole reason why we're here, because of football.
CO2, Chad Owens. Favorite player ever. He's from Hawaii, playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good, he's real good.
He's into MMA,
from the gridiron to the octagon.
He's got game. This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one.
He's got a great cup.
He's a family man,
team player, dedication to the match.
True blue through and through.
I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning.
One, two, three.
We're the Argos Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
We're the Argos Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There you go, Frank.
Thank you. Yes, a person can have fun once in a while with cute girls. You know, I am human, you know. And one thing's for sure, one thing you have to remember about football fans and the importance of being a football fan. The football players that we have in the Canadian Football League do a lot of wonderful work. And the work that they do on behalf of youngsters. I don't think there's a group of athletes that spend more time than Canadian Football League players spend. I've had a good opportunity to shadow a few, and they've done some fine work. But one thing we'd also like to remind you, come August, we'll be talking about CIS football. Now, for those of you that may or may not be aware, for the first time in a few years, the Vanier Cup will not be played along with the Grey Cup. It will be independent of it for the first time. And the reason that is, it's going to the Football Haven in Quebec. And here's a little story about that. The Vanier Cup sponsors tell us, big company, great thing going to happen this year, this coming up year. The 49th Vanier Cup has a sponsor. It's TELUS. The game will be played in 2013 in Quebec City. The CIS Vanier Cup, the championship of all the universities in Canada. Here are some sound bites at the press conference. Gilles Lépine, co-chair of the 2013 TELUS Vanier Cup.
Very confident. The fact that we're, we receive a lot, we're hosting a lot of championships. Just thinking about the soccer men that we host this year, volleyball men that we host again. We'll have a rugby woman just 3 weeks before the Vanier Cup. So we're used to do that. We're happy because our organizing committee is very well organized, with big experience. So with that, we're confident. The infrastructure too, that help us to be there.
Christian Côté, co-chair of the 2013 TELUS Vanier Cup.
Very happy as well to work with Jill and all the people of the organizing committee. It's a challenge for us, but it's a great challenge. We're kind of used to that. We get great crowds each and every week. So it's going to be a big event.
Jean-François Saint-Germain, VP, Quebec Region and Public Markets, TELUS.
Well, it was a natural for us. You know, we're entering the second year of a 20-year partnership with Université Laval. We have our name on the stadium. So for us to be the main sponsor of this not only a natural, but we have the support of all the members, the TELUS members here in Quebec City, which the majority are graduates.
You're looking forward to a great year. Last year must have been the Grey Cup was a grand success, and you know, everyone knows that, or everyone seems to say that a good Toronto.
The commissioner.
But more importantly, the rest of the league is doing well as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a phenomenal year last year. You know, I just spoke to the Argos at their practice today. But, you know, I was at Winnipeg on Wednesday night. You know, the modern CFL is these brand new stadiums. The modern CFL is our new TV deal with TSN. The modern CFL is us promoting our players like the ads you've seen for Travis Lulli and Chad Owens. So we're on a good pace. And the modern CFL is us getting back to Ottawa. So we got a lot of good things happening.
Well, I know the commercials because as soon as they were released, I played them on my show. And I called TSN to make sure it was okay with them that I play them on the show. I just think that any promotion of the CFL, I don't think anybody will argue with me if I'm trying to promote the league. But that's another story. I just wanted to make sure. Yes, that is a key component right now. You're at that point where you're hoping that you have enough star power all over the league to draw more fans everywhere.
Well, I think we do. I mean, if you go around the league, you know, from the Henry Burrises to the, you know, to the Ricky Rays to the Chad Owens to the Travis Lulays to the John Cornish, we have great players around our league, and we're going to make more superstars out of them. And that was, you know, our discussions with TSM. Let's elevate these guys. Let's show what great human beings they are, but what great athletes they are. And that's important for the young kids today who want to play football to see superstars.
Well, anybody that listens to my program knows how I feel about how they are. We follow show them around, and even with Habitat, we broadcast the stuff on the show. We're the fans, so the show that I do is based on the fans. And
great.
Obviously, we're already sold on the league. So what we're trying to do is figure out what the league is doing next, because we're very nosy and very curious.
Good, yeah. About, push us. Good.
Well, I don't want to start with a tough question, but this is the one that most of us Argo fans are talking about, and that is what's in the future for the Argos. There's all this talk about grass going in, posts being set in the ground, which means the Argos won't be able to play there. In our opinion, as Argo fans, we feel the community, and I'm talking about the political community, owes the Argos more than nothing.
No, I mean, I think they're, if you talk to Chris Rudge or Senator Braley, the owner of the franchise, they are looking at what their options are. One, for, better practice facility, and two, what's the long-term on the stadium? And, I think they're starting to put those plans into place. It obviously takes time. You saw what happened in Winnipeg and Ottawa. It takes years and years, but they know that they have to do something different, and they're working on that.
Yeah, and the problem is that they don't know when the clock's going to run out.
No, it's not that that's no true, but that's why they're working now on it.
Yeah,
good, and they're actively pursuing opportunities.
So there's no chance, and don't laugh at me, but there's no chance that we'll lose the Argos.
No, absolutely not. I've never speculated
good,
about that, and
good,
I don't think
good.
We'd ever get to that situation in Toronto, and I can't see, our friends at Rogers doing anything that would be put us in that situation.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. It's good to hear it from you, because I know I'll get the straight dope, and I'll get the Argos and the CFL's version.
Good.
Now, the good news is that you really are advancing. This year's a great year. TSN has done a you and TSN, and not by you, I mean the league and yourself,
absolutely.
And TSN have done a great job on creating this Friday night football fervor.
Yeah.
What else are you going to build on that?
Well, I think that's all part of it. I think, what can we do with minor football? What can we do with high school football? What can we do with CIS? But I think building upon that, looking at, we're doing another regular season game in Atlantic Canada. How do we build in Atlantic Canada? How do we just, make our game more attractive, working on our scheduling, So there's so many different things that we need to do now that we're, it's not the right word of saying growing up, but now that we really have more opportunities, like things like innovative ideas. So what we did with the Grey Cup Fan March, we want to think of more ideas like that, which our fans love. And this is a show about the fans, and we're going to, I'd love to listen to suggestions from fans too, what they'd like to see us do.
Well, you know what I'm going to do now? When I get back to my home, I'm going to Google Fan March, because I honestly, you caught me.
Yeah.
I'm feeling sheepish now.
No, we did, last year at the Grey Cup, the Grey Cup traveled 8,000 kilometers across the land, and then we started at the Varsity Stadium, and we allowed the fans to carry it down, and started off with 500, and morphed to about 20,000. It was probably one of the best events I've ever seen, not just in the CFL, but in professional sport.
Do you think maybe that maybe there's like when people dig for oil, they know it's there. You got a fan group that you could reach, and how close do you think you are to hitting that vein of fans that I believe are there? I believe they're there.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is really Southern Ontario and more Toronto, because if I go across the country, I see us in the West, I see you in Quebec, I see you in rural Ontario and places like Ottawa, the real fan base. We saw it here in Toronto. I think we're about to break through, but it really is also about our fans being ambassadors for our game. Bringing their friends to a game, bringing their grandkids to a game, and passing on the tradition. That's part of all what this is all about.
I thank you so much
for
the job you've done. We fans are very grateful. When you came in, the league was, let's just say, it wasn't in the same state it is now. And thank you for that from our group, the Argo
Life. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good seeing you.
Thanks.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, so what else can the CFL do? Hey, guys, I want to ask you, we talked about the game. We talked about the games that are coming up this week. But on a more important level, there's going to be a game being played in Fort McMurray in northern Alberta between Edmonton and Saskatchewan, a game that Edmonton would not enter into doing unless they had agreement with TSN, the CFL, and in particular, they wanted to have Saskatchewan. Are you aware of this game? And if you are, any comments on it, starting with you, Mick?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that on TV, and I lived in Calgary. I haven't been to Fort McMurray, but as you know, there's so many Saskatchewan people working out there. So that's a great call. Take the preseason games to bigger country towns. Great idea.
Mike?
Yeah, I think from there, I think the next thing I was going to bring up was Mark Cohen was actually on Dave Naylor's show right before the Argo TICAST game last week, and he talked about what they were trying to do in the Maritimes, and he mentioned that in Halifax they have a new mayor now that's, from what he described, more progressive and is looking to try to do similar to what they're doing at Ottawa and have a major sort of downtown revitalization project that sort of spearheaded mm-hmm. what a new stadium. And the commissioner brought up the idea about having a community-owned team, similar to like the Bombers and the Riders have. And
So the
fact that he was on the record saying that, I think, shows that they've probably been in the works with this for quite some time. And if that were to happen, I think that'd be great. Because the reason that the Bombers and what the Riders are eventually going to build in 2017, the reason they were able to build such spectacular stadiums is because they're community-owned. And because they're community-owned, all the money that they generate in profits, they can invest back into the actual team, unlike having a private owner who wants to pocket that. And because of that, you know, the Bombers put about $100 million into their stadium. The Riders are going to do the same. So if Halifax can get a community-owned team, you know, that would mean they'd be able to get, you know, the $100 million needed from the actual team to put down to, you know, for a stadium, and that could, you know, that could actually lead to a really good possibility of having that 10th team. So I think there's real, you know, positive news in the future for the CFL. I really think Kowan's done a great job.
Mick?
Yeah, I got something to add to that. I actually took a trip about 3 weeks ago out to Moncton and then to Halifax. I don't know. I'm not sure there's enough people out there, to be totally honest. And I know a lady that's from Calgary. I've done some work for her and her husband. He's done some NFL films work and TSN and stuff. She's been written up in the paper quite a bit. Christina St. Marche is her name. She wants to buy a team and put it in Quebec City. So I've talked to her quite a bit, and I don't know. I kind of think Quebec City might be the next option after Ottawa.
Well,
yeah,
that would
be great if they could get the only reason is they couldn't get the financing for the stadium. If you remember in 2008 when she tried to get it then, they asked the federal government to give them about $35 million because Laval University told them that they needed $85 million to renovate the stadium to get it to CFL standards. And she was willing to put down with some partners about $40 million, and they were hoping that the federal government could cover them the remaining $35 million, and the government said no, they're not subsidizing football. And because of that, that pretty much, I thought that killed it. But apparently, Mick, if you know anything newer, is she still actively pursuing it? Is it something that's still in the works, or do you know any details?
Yeah, I do, man. I talked to her on email and him as well, and the feeling I've got is Cohen's basically said, let's get Ottawa organized, get Ottawa going, and then look next after that, whether it's Quebec City or Halifax/Moncton. But I don't know, I drove through Moncton, like, you miss it, all the trees, you'll miss the city. Like, I kind of kept driving and end up in Halifax, so I just don't know that there's enough people. I mean, if you put it in Moncton, people from Halifax are not going to drive there, it's too far.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure there's enough people out there to warrant CFL. And I love the CFL, as you know. So from what I've heard of how big football is in the junior ranks in Quebec and Quebec City, I kind of got to agree with her. I think Quebec City is a better option than either Halifax or Moncton.
But the owner of Laval will not let it happen without kicking and screaming.
Yeah. Disappointing.
You know, he doesn't want nothing to do with it, and he's already claimed he's ready to sue them if they do anything.
No, I don't think he can sue them. Like, legally, he wouldn't have an actual... You can't stop someone else from having a private business. But you know when their opportunity would be for her to actually pull that off? If I'm not mistaken, doesn't Toronto get the Olympics coming up soon?
No.
Or was it the World Cup? They were getting something.
Well,
I'll
be dead before any of that happens. You may still be alive, but I'll be dead before any of that happens.
I think they said, I think it's the World Cup. I think
the Pan American Games are coming here, and that's the only thing I know of that's happening here in Southern Ontario.
Okay, there's something coming in 2020, some type of major international event, and you guys know how Canadian politics works. The only time the federal government's going to put any money towards a stadium is if there's some type of major international event tied into it, like with the whole Pan Am Games in the TICAST Stadium. But that might be her one shot to get the federal money she needs to build like their own stadium, you know, on the outskirts of the city. Because like Mick's right, Quebec would be a much better option. It's just politically it's kind of difficult. But could you imagine Quebec and Montreal, that rivalry? That'd be awesome.
I totally like, listen, said, guys. Let me make this clear. I agree with you as well. I mean, Quebec is the place to go. But I think the reason Cohan is talking about the Maritimes is to strike up more interest in Quebec. I mean, he's a very smart and intelligent guy. You know, we need another team. He's making that very clear. That's what it sounds like to me. I didn't listen to the Naylor interview, but they already know. They see the writing on the wall. As soon as Ottawa comes in, they're going to need a 10th team.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to need a 10th team.
Especially
and
in the East.
Winnipeg could go where it belongs.
Yeah.
Where it came from, the Western Division.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, no, I agree with you guys. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you guys. I just happen to think that, you know, and maybe let's try this a different way. I'm trying to think outside the box myself, that when it comes time to, you know, the reason why, and I don't mean to get into hockey again, but the reason I was so upset that Hamilton didn't get a hockey team is because I knew what was going on at that time. Things changed when it came to sports and stadiums. Stadiums have become a reason to expand a downtown core or an area that you want to expand. That happened with the Maple Leafs here. That happened in L.A. That happened in a lot of other places where they put stadiums. It's like an igniter for progress, if you will. You know,
yep.
and that's why Glendale, otherwise known as Phoenix, is willing to spend $220-something-odd million. And pay to have a team stay in the community because of, you know, the economic value that team generates. And, yes, Quebec City, if it comes down to it, start looking like the CFL's really going to expand, you know, until Ottawa's in, and I think you're right, Mike, and I don't know if it was whether it was you or Mick, but I guess it was you, Mike, about they want things to play out in Ottawa. And then as soon as the draft happens in December, the conversation will become more intense about an expansion Eastern Division team.
Yeah, and to Mick's point, I think he's right. Like, you know, Halifax only has like 300,000 people, and Moncton is really, it's just a small town. It's really not even a city. But
how many people live around Regina?
Yeah, that's what my next point was. They would kind of hope that they could draw all the different little provinces in the Maritimes.
Little communities.
Yeah, that's why they would probably... Yeah. They wouldn't even name the team Halifax or Moncton. They're going to name the team Atlantic something and try to have that whole Atlantic theme. But
the Atlantic Shore.
Yeah. I think they'd be better off going with something like the Atlantic Tide. But anyways...
Better. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's cool. But the Quebec thing would be great because, could you imagine like Labor Day, they could have the game at the Big O and like split, have the stadium half and half, like Quebec fans on one side and Montreal fans.
I think Quebec and Montreal should have a Canada Day game.
Oh,
well, don't go there. That's an old topic. Another topic there, mate.
Canada Day game. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, Mike. I couldn't resist because there's so many lines there that I just can't avoid jumping on. Not on yours, but on the topic. You know, it would be great. You know, I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah, you're right. And carry on. Quebec is a wonderful place for football. All kidding aside, I think you're right. Montreal on one side, Quebec on the other. I can imagine that in my eyes. You know,
thing is they're building a $400 million hockey arena, even though they don't really have an NHL team that's looking to come there. And it just shows you how much bigger hockey is, that politically they're willing to commit that kind of money to a hockey arena, even though there's, like, no team actively wanting to come. But yet for a CFL team, when you actually have an owner with money who's willing to invest and do it, all of a sudden they act like, you know, $35 million is too much. And I just, you know, I know hockey is king in Canada, but I mean, come on. I mean, that's crazy, you know?
Dude, look at what's going to happen in the Argos. Nobody wants to believe it. I joked with Commissioner Cohen. I said, so do you think the team will leave Toronto? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I mean, really. I mean, it's possible.
It is.
It's possible. I mean, if they have nowhere to play, maybe they'll be in the Maritimes.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't the conversation about Hamilton for a while until they got their new stadium? Everyone was talking about Hamilton.
That's right. That's right. And that card hasn't been played yet by the Argos.
It will, though. I think, you know,
absolutely,
I think the whole
Rogers
putting grass in is like a blessing in disguise. Because let's be honest, even though that game Friday night was really nice, having the lower bowl full, the Rogers Center, unless it's totally packed with at least 40,000 people or more, it's not the same. They really need to move into like a nice 25,000 to 30,000 seat stadium, you know. And I wish they could build something like what Winnipeg had, you know, because the city is great as Toronto. They should have, their team should be playing in the best stadium in the league. But it's a shame that a city of only 700,000 can build, you know, an absolute jewel, but a city of 8 million is refusing to even spend even a dollar on their team. And it's like,
well,
let's be fair though.
Let's be fair though. Rogers got a bargain with the Sky Dome, $20 million.
Oh my God.
$25 million.
Didn't it cost $1 billion to build?
Something. Well, I don't know if it cost that much, but remember how old it is. So, you know, I think it was in the 600-800 million range, I think. Something like that. Well, maybe it wasn't even that much. It does, you know, it really doesn't matter. $20 million's a bargain.
Yeah, for a stadium.
You know, and it is. You know, and it's not that bad a stadium. And because the roof opens and closes, they could put grass in. I mean, you know, great. You know, fantastic. It's a baseball stadium. But you know what? Will there be somebody that comes to the rescue? Is there a white horse in the future of football fans in Toronto and Southern Ontario, you know, outside of Hamilton? I don't know. I really do question it, because it's taken a lot of dedication by an owner who didn't want to buy the team. You know, people think that this guy wanted to buy Toronto. He didn't. They made him a senator because they knew the sacrifice Mr. Braley did. You know?
Yeah.
And he continues that sacrifice to this day. He has some great people running, you know, there is not a better person, and later I'll play the interview with Chris Rudge, whom I think the world of, and the reason I think the world of him is what he did at the Olympics in Vancouver, and then he came here and did the Grey Cup. I mean, you know, like, how much do you have to put out until Toronto people finally appreciate the class and the excitement that an organization is putting out there? You know, I know the Grey Cup wasn't lost on a lot of people last year that enjoyed the Grey Cup here in Toronto. You know, mm-hmm. I know many felt it. I know many experienced it. But it's like, you know, Argos, I know I shouldn't be saying this kind of stuff, but the Argos are struggling to sell the same season tickets they sold last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, go ahead, Mick. Yeah.
No, it's disappointing. Don't get me. I don't want to get going on. I love downtown Toronto. I love the clubs. I love the pubs, the friendly people. Like, I'm halfway across the world, and there's so many beautiful women that are just similar as people. And I love downtown Toronto. I want to live there, but I don't want to live in the suburbs. But it's very disappointing what the Argos are. You know, they just don't get the support because it's not trendy. Well, we've got to change that and get it trendy again. And, you know, hopefully it works with great players they got now.
Yeah, we have to remember is that the Argos were terrible for about 5 years, guys.
Yeah.
And if you go back, and we talked about this last week, Frank, is in 2007, that was the last time before last season that they were good. And they averaged almost 40,000 a game.
I mean, we only got about a minute left, buddy.
Yeah.
We only got about a minute left.
All right, I'll make a quick plug for my show game, my blog. My website is truecflfan.blogspot.com again. But, you know, there's hope. Give them one more, 2 more years of playing at a high level, and I think we'll see the attendance numbers get back up to 30,000, 35,000 plus.
Well, if the Blue Jays are an example, they went on that winning streak, and all of a sudden the stadium started to fill. I mean, let's face it, Toronto's had a lot of teams that don't win. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of teams you can go see. If a loser is what you want to see, there's lots of them in Toronto. It's the winner that makes it different.
Yeah.
Mick, last word for you.
Oh, no, it's great to talk CFL and, yeah, Total CFL is where I'm on there a lot, and tons of Grey Cup funny comedy videos all over the place. So Mick Aussie is M-Y-K Aussie, and you'll find me all over the place. So, yeah, great talking footy with you guys.
Well, I'd like to have you back sometime. Anytime you want to bend my ear, you're more than welcome. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, mate.
Mike from Minnesota, Mick the Aussie, and look them both up on the internet. My name's Frank Stanisha. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live here on Rouge Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a great night. Gentlemen, thank you again.
All right, thank you.
All right, see you later, man.
All right, that concludes another program. Well, I think it was fun. I don't know about you, but I thought it was fun. We'll see you later.